cry out, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Please be seated for just a few moments here. Thank you very much for those kind remarks, Brother Trevino. Amen. I want to say my thanks to this committee for the work that they are doing. I don't know if you young people are aware of this, but I have firsthand knowledge of two large youth events that I have been privileged to preach before that are in the scope and magnitude of the size of this meeting that just this year have been closed. And they have stopped doing them because of, I'm sure, a lot of reasons, but underneath it all, the main reason is it's getting more and more difficult to get churches, like-minded churches, to stay on the same page. Amen. And I thought when I drove into the campgrounds here, I thought, and I heard it tonight, 43 pastors have got confidence in these men that we're all on the same page. That's something to be proud of. Amen. Amen. And their unselfish labor of love that they are doing, two of the original sponsors, Brother Blotto and Brother Randy Kendrick, have gone on to their reward. I wonder if they even thought when they started this camp that we are doing something that is going to outlive us. We are investing in the work of the kingdom of God that when we're long gone, young people from all over are coming. And I am so appreciative of the men on this committee. Amen. I tell the people in my church that if you're dating and planning on marrying somebody from another church, you're not going to find everything exactly the same. But the only way I'll put my blessing upon the two of you getting together is if you both agree that wherever we don't have exactly the same standards, you're going to step up and never ask anybody to step down. Amen? And that's exactly what the men of this committee have done. Amen. They've agreed to just step up, and we have a beautiful, beautiful place. If you'll indulge me tonight just a moment more before I start my preaching, amen, I want to talk to you a little bit about evangelism and young people getting involved in evangelism. In our local church congregation, we've had van ministry for many, many years, and we were at a spot to where our van ministry really, really wasn't doing as good as it should. And so I, as the pastor, decided that we're going to fix that. We got different ones of our ministers of our church to take charge, become a van captain for 6 months, and do all of the things that were necessary to stoke the fires, and it still didn't happen. But the day came that I really felt impressed with the Lord to ask the young people of our church, the young people, if they would take over the van ministry. Hallelujah. I think it's almost criminal for young people to want to sleep in every Saturday when there's evangelism that needs to be done. Whoa, I lost a bunch of you. Oh, hallelujah. But I appeal to the young people. Amen. And Sister Vivian Gonzalez became one of our captains, and I'd invite her to come and bring somebody up here with her tonight, and that is Destiny Conejo. Amen. And they took over. I explained to the young people, I said, nobody can reach young people like young people. Nobody has the rapport with young people like other young people do. Can you say amen? And though all of us older folks try our very best, how are we going to reach this generation if our young people won't get involved in evangelism and doing the work of God? Amen. Hallelujah. Come up here. Amen. And Sister Vivian Gonzalez got busy working for the Lord, and one of the van riders is right here beside me. And she received the gift of the Holy Ghost last night at this camp. Oh, hallelujah. She looks like she was born an apostolic, doesn't she? She looks like she came from one of your homes. God reached down and she got hungry for God. Hallelujah. Now she's full of the Holy Ghost. Destiny, we're so proud of you. Thank you very much. Amen. Young people, get involved in evangelism. Get involved in evangelism. Hallelujah. The only hope your high school classmates have, the only hope, amen, is that young people would get involved. Stand with me if you will. I am reading from the book of Ezra, one verse there, and then over from the book of 1 Corinthians. If you will, look with me. Ezra chapter number 9, the 9th chapter of the book of Ezra. And I want to read one verse there, verse number 8. What a glorious camp this camp has been this week. And I trust that I'm not fighting to keep you awake here tonight. I hope you got a little bit of reserve left in the tank. Anybody got just a little bit? Hallelujah. Come on. Help me out. Ezra chapter number 9 and verse number 8. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. I want you to notice the words, to give us a nail in His holy place. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 21. Amen. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Sounds like the introduction, brother Trevino was just talking about. I think we're on the same page. Hallelujah. Preaching would save them that believe. My title tonight, I'm sure you won't fully appreciate till a few minutes into the message, but I want to preach to you about building your own welcome mat. Building your own welcome mat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and ask God to talk to you this last night of this great camp. God, we love you. God, we praise you. God, we worship you. We magnify the name of the Lord our God. Oh, Savior, come, I pray. As you have done in everyday service, God. As you have done in these evening services, Lord. come once again, God. Meet with us here in a mighty way, God. I'm asking you, Lord, through the power of the Holy Ghost, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God does the vast majority of His work in our lives through preaching. There are other methods, of course, that God works in our lives from time to time. It's important that young people and the adults that are here realize that. There are other ways, of course, that God works. He works through trials sometimes. He works through sickness sometimes. He works through dreams sometimes. Sometimes it's the counsel of your pastor that God works through. But you must understand that the vast majority of the work that God will ever do in your life, He will do it through preaching. And I want to lift the bar just a little bit tonight, if God will help me, to your understanding and appreciation of what God's trying to do for you through the preaching of the Word of God. How God is trying to help you. One translation said it pleased God to save them that believe by preaching. First thing I want you to know about preaching is that your preaching must be mixed with faith. It's not completely dependent upon the power, the unction, and the anointing of the preacher that's up doing the preaching. Amen. You have got a responsibility that when you hear the preaching of the Word, you will take out and start mixing that with faith in your heart. Hallelujah. There's an inward witness of the Spirit that says, yes, that preaching that I'm hearing, God's given it for me tonight. Hallelujah. It's like a bear when he goes fishing for salmon. If you've ever seen them in the wild, as they wade out there into that little waterfall that's going by and get their body all situated. There are dozens of salmon that are passing by over that waterfall. But it is not until that big bear decides that one of those fish is mine. Hallelujah. And he reaches out there and he snags a hold of it. He gets it in his teeth. He shakes it and waddles back over to the bank and wolfs it down. Hallelujah. Preaching is very much like that. There's a lot of folks that watch it just sail right on by them. But oh, I believe in God that there's some campers in this house that are going to look at preaching different after tonight than you ever have before. And make up your mind that I'm going to mix it with faith in my heart. When God speaks something to me, I'm going to take it. I'm going to receive it. Preaching that saves you always comes in advance. I want you to catch this before I get to the meat of the message here tonight. Preaching that will save you is not after you've fallen to the temptation that's there. But preaching that will save you is in advance of the temptation that you are fixing to face in your life. It's in advance of the attack of the devil that's fixing to come your way. It's in advance of the snare that the devil has carefully laid by your path. You don't even know it's there, but God knows it is. And God laid it on the heart of the preacher that said, help them out. Amen. Preach to them about this so their foot won't get snared in that trap that the devil has got for them around the next corner that's there. Preaching is in advance. Remember the story in the Old Testament of the prophet warning the king of Israel about the enemy's troop movements. And the other king was scratching his head, saying, I don't know what's going on, but every time we think we got them, holed up in a certain valley, by the time we get there, they are gone. How in the world do they stay one step ahead of my army every time? I'm telling you, if you get to loving preaching, you will stay a step ahead of the devil every time. God will send you in advance everything you need. You better perk up and keep your eyes open on Wednesday night, on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, because God is trying to warn you in advance of something that's coming down the pipe. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, the story of the Old Testament was the watchman on the wall. He didn't lift up his trumpet after the enemy had beat down the gates. Come on. Get that fatalistic mentality out of your head. Amen. The trumpet was blown when you still had enough time to do something about it. Don't you ever say, the devil caught me off guard and slipped up on my blind side. Because if you had been listening to a God-anointed man of God, you would have seen it coming a half a mile away. The preacher would have already ticked you off as to what was going on. Well, hallelujah. So preaching is what saved you. It's God's early warning system. It says, get prepared. Get prepared. Pay attention. Amen. Listen. Listen to what the preacher is saying. In Churchill, Canada, it is a small town of 9,000 residents that live there. It is situated on a very strategic bay. That is where the very first ice floes of the winter form. It is right in that bay and all of that massive region of territory that is there. Those little mini icebergs that come floating by, they're called ice floes. Now, it's an important thing because the ice floes are the fishing docks for all of the polar bears that live up in the polar cap region that is there. And so they can't go fishing for the seals until their docks arrive. Till they got something to kick paddle on and carry them out into the bay and let them kind of, have a fine spot there for them to scout out the land and look for where the seals are and get them whenever they want them and enjoy all of that. And so, since their diet of these massive polar bears, I want to stop long enough and say, amen. As I'm preaching to you about these fellas tonight, I want you to remember that a polar bear is easily twice the size of those little old brown bears you see at Yosemite. And those brown bears are strong enough to take their claws into the door of a minivan and pop it open as easy as you can pop a can of Coke open. And these monsters are easily twice the size of them. We're not talking about little dudes here. It's not panda, koala bears. We're talking about massive polar bears that are, well, during the cold months, seals are mainly their diet. And so in the summertime, there's no ice floes. And so they are forced to have to scavenge for food in the land that is there. And fortunately, they're all spread out through the wild, and they have plenty of space, not too large of a concentration of them in any particular town. But their annual family reunion, if you please, happens at Churchill, Canada, where them polar bears from all over say, "I'm getting hungry for the good stuff. And I know where the ticket to ride is going to be at. It's going to be right there at the water's edge of Churchill, Canada." And so, converging on that little tiny town during the months of September and October is an unbelievable amount of polar bears that show up, and they're hungry. I mean, they're real hungry. They hadn't had a square meal in many months, and they are hungry as a bear, and they're ready for some action. But in case there's no ice floes formed yet, guess who gets to put up with them? The residents of the little town in Churchill, Canada. And so all during those 2 months, every resident there leaves their cars unlocked with the keys in the car. Just in case the Domino's delivery boy gets sniffed out by one of them polar bears smelling a double pepperoni pizza and starts the charge toward his meal ticket. And everybody in the whole town knows that during those 2 months, my car is your car and your car is my car. And them jokers are so hungry that they're liable to surprise you, come around any corner and get after you quicker than you know what's going on. And you can't even run home if you're trying to unload groceries out of your car. Amen. One might come and smell it, surprise you, sneak up on you. And every house in Churchill, Canada, is left unlocked for 2 months because they know that you have a fat chance of outrunning one of them. If they ever get after you and you're carrying some grub with you, amen, you are in trouble. Even if you throw the food to them, the smell of it you got on your body may require them to hunt you down and see if they can find some more. So everybody's allowed inside of everybody's house at any time that they are needed. Now those houses are built solid. They're built for harsh winters that are there in that region of the country. But unfortunately, the strongest door that's built on a house is no match for a polar bear. No match at all. So the most dangerous, the most vulnerable spot, somehow they're frightened of the breaking of glass. The most vulnerable spots of the house are the front door and the back door. And those polar bears know that all I got to do is pop open that door. And guess what? Amen. These good old Canadians have all kinds of grub in there for me. They got anything I want tonight. You know, I can satisfy myself till the seals get here by enjoying everything they bought in there. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, the devil will use either one, the front door or the back door. He don't care which one he uses as long as he gets a chance to get in. And so the city, the town, has a long-standing tradition that I've asked some workers to help me out with here tonight. Amen. And these worker men are going to come help me and spread out the stuff here for your perusal tonight while I preach. And the game plan of the city is tongue-in-cheek, facetiously. They say, when you live in polar bear country, you've got to build your own welcome mat for the polar bear outside both your front door and your back door. You can't just build it at one door. You've got to build it at both doors. And it's you deciding how accommodating you want to be for that bear. You deciding how welcome that bear is to get inside of your house. Now, it's not real complicated. There's two things that are used for the welcome mats. That's plywood and nails. That's all they use. They've done it for many generations up there at that particular town in Canada, that the welcome mats are just simply built out of plywood and nails. Everybody has their opportunity to build their own. You can build it as big as you want to build it. You can put as many nails in it as you want to put in it. Or you can be as sloppy and slipshod, and you can build it whatever your specs are. Amen. It's your choice what kind of a welcome mat you want to build for those big old hungry polar bears when they come to town. Now, there's only three variables. One is what size of nails you're going to use. I went and got me some nails here. I know you got to have unbelievable good eyes to see these nails that I got here. But you know, if you pound them real hard into that plywood, there's a chance that a polar bear might get the point. Any of you would feel really good about us using this size of nails today? Nobody out there, many of you campers, just the little tiny ones. Or you can use that size of nail. If you want to, those are 16-penny nails that we're putting out here for you. That at some point here in this preaching, if you decide that God's given you a nail or two, or three or four, during this camp, you come up here and get you one of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you gotta decide the first variable. miracle you got to decide is if you want to get the little itty bitsy nails or do you want to get the big boys? Let's take a vote here. How many campers are in favor of these size nails right here? Okay. How many is in favor of these big old nails we got around here? I think you're catching on. Thank you. Now I'm going to ask the construction crew here, our good general contractor, to, amen, put us in, maybe one nail in each corner of that. Put us in some nails there. Whoa. Now turn that over and let them see. Oh, hallelujah. Now, that polar bear would get the point, but it looks to me like there's a problem with it. There just ain't enough nails in there, is there? I mean, a polar bear's big, but he can step right in between those nails and waltz right into your house if that's all the nails that you want to use. Amen. So the second variable is you decided how many nails you want to use in your welcome mat. Hallelujah. If you want to go through your teenage years with only one or two or three or four messages that you can ever remember that you heard preached because your brain was out in la-la land every time the preaching was going on, you're going to end up with a welcome mat that looks just like this. Oh, hallelujah. But if something gets in your heart that every time the preacher gets up to preach, said, thank you, Jesus, this is for my good that this message is coming across. That, oh, by the time my pastor gets done tonight, I'm sure I'm going to have two or three or four or five more nails to put in my welcome mat for the devil. I'm positive that God's going to speak to me. The anointed man of God is going to give me the tools that I need to keep the devil away from my front door, away from my back door, away from getting in and ravaging me and controlling me. Oh, hallelujah. God gives us nails through preaching. As much as you love the choir singing, thank you, Sister Pam Greg, I won't say it, Sister Greg. She knows what I'm talking about. Amen. Thank you. No matter how much the choir blesses you, you don't get nails from anywhere but the preaching. Hallelujah. It's from the preaching you hear, young people. Amen. That gives you what you need. And it's only preaching that you're paying attention to. You know, I've heard young people that are so proud of their multitasking abilities.
I can do several things at the same time. I'm sorry, the old timers, the concrete's all set up, and they can only do one thing at a time. But I can sit here and listen to the preaching and carry on several other things all at the same time. Now, I'll admit to you that your brain works faster than any preacher can preach. Amen. But the multitasking God wants you to do while the preaching is going on is to have a Google search between your ears and said, my God, amen, that preaching that's happening, where do I need to add this nail that I'm hearing tonight? Amen. What part of my life do I need to plug in on? What area am I weak in? What area do I need God's help in? And I'm almost falling in. Where can I use that preaching in my life? I'm building a welcome mat, and I want to make sure the devil doesn't get past it.
Oh, yeah. Amen. If your multitasking is daydreaming during church, text messaging in your purse. Get that funny little grin on your face. You don't think your pastor has a clue what you're doing. Oh, God have mercy. Amen. If the multitasking that you're doing there in church is thinking about your girlfriend or the all-star game that you're fixing to play in, amen. Those old polar bears are happy campers when your mind is on anything but the preaching of the Word of God. Because they know that you've got a weapon through the preaching that God gives us a nail from His holy place that we can put in there that will give us protection and safety and blessing in our life. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I want to tell you something. God doesn't give us guns to stop the bears with. Amen. I know you read your Bible, but all we get is a sword and all the nails we need. And the very best sword fighter in the world is no match for a charging, hungry bear. I don't care how good you think you are at using the sword of the Word of God against the devil when you're in hand-to-hand combat. Amen. Your most valuable tool is the advanced planning that you have done that said, devil, I'm not only, amen, going to work on defeating you, I'm keeping you out of my house. I'm keeping you out of my play yard. I'm keeping you out of the things that are valuable in my life. Amen. Let me tell you about the devil. If he ever gets past the front door, you're not going to control what rooms he gets into. If he ever gets past the back door, you're not going to say, I'll go this far, but I won't go all the way. Amen. I'll only do this, but I won't do any more. When he gets in the door, he's in control from that point on. And in this camp, literally dozens of the best nails that you'll ever get in your life have been laid in your lap as campers. Now my question is, what did you do with them?
did you do with them? They won't stop nothing as long as they're in the keg of nails. They won't stop anything as long as they're just in your hand. But until you've driven them into your heart and said, "That's mine, devil. Hallelujah." That preaching that I heard Brother Miraflor do gave me a nail against you, devil, and I've got it driven in all the way. Amen. What Brother Brown gave me, what Elder Morton gave me, what Brother Albiar gave me, what Brother Frazier gave me. I've got news for you, devil. I'm building a wealth of math for you. I want to tell you something. When I get back home, you're not getting in. You're not getting in my life. You're not doing it to me again. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, let's take a little photo on it, young people. Amen. We got us a little bigger one. How many nails do you think we need to put in that welcome mat if we're serious about keeping the polar bear out? Hallelujah. Anybody vote for 5 or 6? Ooh, 7 or 8, did I hear? 9 or 10? More? 15 of them? 20 of them? Ooh, go ahead, man. See, put a few nails in there. Amen. Let's see what's going on. Wow. 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 How big do you want your welcome mat to be when the devil is coming through? How big do you think you'd like for it to be? Oh, yeah. Man. Ooh. Don't worry, there's plenty of nails. Amen. You'll hear more preaching next week. We ain't run out of preaching, brother. Amen. It's coming at you again. All right. Thank you. Hold that one up for them. Give them a look at that. Ooh, yeah. Man, oh man, oh man. Hallelujah. Ooh. Ah, thank you. Put it up here so everybody can see it. Lean it up against something. You can be seen. You know, the next variable is you've got to decide how big you want your welcome back. Ooh. Anybody vote for one that big? Oh, yeah, you really want to keep him out. Amen. You're tired of falling to pornography. Yeah, you're tired of caving in to that ungodly music. Amen. You're tired of sneaking around and letting the devil get in on the side. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Be seated. Amen, amen. You've got to decide how big you want your welcome back. The only problem with this little piece right here is he stepped right in the middle of that. Never give him any problem. We put a whole lot more nails in that, but he stepped right over the top of that. But they have proven in Churchill, Canada, that if you get a spread as big as a 4x8 sheet of plywood, and you will fill that joker full of as many nails as you want. The biggest and the baddest of the polar bears will not try to step on it, to step over it, to pick it up and move it out of the way, because they've already experienced it before. And when they look at that, and the nails that are looking up at them, amen, they're more afraid of that than they are of 44 Magnum looking at them in the eyeball. They know the message. They get the hint. They know what's going on, amen, in their life. Let me tell you young people something. Overkill is perfectly fine when you're dealing with hungry bears. Amen. The world says you apostolics take it too far. You've got dating rules. You've got internet guidelines. You say there's no contemporary music now. Brother Brown gave you some nails that you're adding to the other nails that you already had in there. Oh, my friend, overkill is perfectly fine. Say, devil, I'd rather be safe than sorry. Hallelujah. I would rather take it too far than not far enough. I would rather be protected, amen, than to have the enemy sneaking up on me. Hallelujah. Be seated. So, all of us, find our nails in the holy place, and we decide what we're going to do with them. All week long, it's been on my mind. A 14-year-old boy I sat in a youth camp, and I listened to a preacher get up and preach a message called The Shears of Delilah. And he had some scissors, and he talked about the shears of Delilah. And he preached to all, not just me, but all my buddies that were sitting there, about how you better keep your distance from a woman that's got loose morals. You better keep your distance from a boy that's got loose morals. Amen. You better keep it tight. And I remember going up to the altar as sure as it was yesterday, and taking a hold of the nails that preacher gave to me that night. And I got to the altar and I said, God, amen, I hadn't done everything right in life, but I'm taking these nails right now, and I'm making a vow unto you, God, and I'm telling you, amen, if she's got loose morals, I'm not talking to her, I'm not hanging around her, amen, I'm not doing anything with it, because I don't want to be ravished. I don't want the enemy to get inside of my heart. Amen. Because if he ever gets in, he'll go to every room in the house. If he ever gets in, he'll destroy everything inside of me. And I found some nails in the holy place. And I drove it in. And I drove it in. I wasn't in any hurry to leave the altar that night. All of my buddies left. But I was working on my welcome mat. Saying it ain't gonna happen, devil. You're not. You're not getting in. You're not getting in. I'm not gonna let it happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And friends of mine that walked right out and overlooked the same nails that I found. Self-destructive in short order and messed up there. Lord, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, we got a bad devil after you, young people. He's trying to get sexual perversion into the apostolic ranks like never before. There's got to be something stirs up within your heart that said, devil, I ain't even going to let you get close to the front door. I ain't even going to let you do anything that might in any way look the slightest bit feminine. Amen. Nothing whatsoever. I don't want it. I want it as far away from me as you can possibly get. Oh, thank God for preachers that preach against skinny jeans. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to help you build a welcome mat against that spirit of homosexuality. They're trying to help you keep the devil out.
Can you handle a couple more nails about that?
Hallelujah. You know, I happen to be of the age that I remember when women first started wearing pantsuits. Now, the major difference between a man's suit and a woman's pantsuit is that a man's suit, his jacket was always long enough to cover his backside. But women are awful proud of their backside when they got on pants. Am I too plain for you here tonight? Wanted pantsuits, but they wanted the jacket up high enough so everybody could see their backside real well. Am I the only one that's getting worried about our boys buying them short jackets? Look like pantsuits on women.
Oh, I'm giving you a nail, whether you like it or not. I'm giving you a nail. If you'll take a hold of that nail and drive it in, you won't ever have to worry about going the other way.
Hallelujah. Be seated. Be seated. I don't want to get too radical here tonight. Oh, yeah. I would like, amen, in just a moment. We got a full sheet of plywood. And I want our helpers to fill that sheet as full as they can get it with some nails. But as they're doing it,
I want every one of you campers that are going to take some nails home with you to put in your welcome mat to come up here and get you at least one of these nails. And while they're knocking the nails, oh, don't you love to knock the snot out of the devil. They're knocking the nails in. Amen. I want to ask you to stand around this altar with your nail. Amen. Shouting and praising God that we got preaching that protects us. We got preaching that keeps us safe. We got preaching that keeps the devil on the run. Amen. We got preaching, amen, that protects us from the enemy working against us. Come on, come on. Lift your hands up in the air. Come on, young ladies. Come on, young men. Lift your hands up in the air. My God, I've got to welcome that. That I've got to build for the devil. That I've got to build for my enemy. I need preaching. I need preaching. I need preaching to keep me safe. To keep the enemy away. Oh, that's it. That's it. That's it. Magnify the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Amen. I need the preaching of the Word of God. Pastor, preach it to me. Amen. Preach it to me. It's not just that you can, but I need preaching. I need preaching. I need preaching. I need preaching. Give me a nail. Give me a nail.